Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. As criminal justice reform takes shape in Oklahoma, we've seen for the first time in some years a decrease in our incarcerated population. Last November, over 460 men and women were released in a mass commutation, and the Parole and Pardon Board's caseload has doubled in the past year. But for this newly freed population, what are their prospects for finding employment and economic opportunity? What are their prospects for leading a productive life? Right now, that's falling primarily on the nonprofit sector. Luckily, there's a number of organizations taking up that challenge. Today, we hear about one. The Center for Employment Opportunities has placed over 1,000 newly freed men and women in productive work situations, providing job readiness training, transportation options, transitional employment, job coaching and placement, and once they have a job or career pathway, provide retention services to ensure that they thrive in that new pathway. My guest is the Tulsa director, Adrian Yandell. Yandell is a native Tulsan who worked for the State Department before leaving to help set up a series of refugee NGOs in the Middle East. Finally, she returned home to help Oklahoma's formerly incarcerated population find new career pathways. Today we hear about the Center for Employment Opportunities, and Adrian Yandell is my guest. Adrian Yandell, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me here, Rich.
It's been 4 months since Oklahoma's historic single-day mass commutation. Over 460 inmates were granted their freedom. And, of course, this has been a big year altogether in releasing Oklahoma's prison population. Do we have information on how well these individuals are doing today?
Absolutely. They're doing extremely well, and it is a pleasure to be able to work with them and learn a little bit about who these people really are.
Tell us a little bit about how you've done that.
Sure. Well, at the Center for Employment Opportunities, we help people coming home from prison get immediate employment, and that helps reduce recidivism across the state. And it also, of course, sets these fantastic individuals up for long-term stable employment.
How much help do these individuals get when they leave the prison? You know, I've heard stories of it's like they gave me $50 and out the door I go. On the state side, is it really that little?
It can really be very difficult for someone coming home from incarceration. Oftentimes, they don't have a community to welcome them back, or they're returning to a community that they feel may drag them back into some of the same behaviors that had gotten them in trouble in the first place. And so we do hear many people coming home from incarceration saying, hey, you know, CEO is the one place where I feel welcomed, comfortable, at home. You guys are supporting me. Help me navigate this community because I don't know how to find a home. I don't have one. I don't know how to get to and from. One of the things that I think a lot of people don't realize is that not everyone coming home to Tulsa is actually from here. So on top of everything else, you have people who are coming home who don't really know the city that well and don't know how to navigate it.
Why would they come to Tulsa as opposed to wherever they were in the state?
Well, Tulsa is a fantastic place to be, first of all. Great jobs, great employers, a lot of growth.
More employment opportunities than a small town, say, in southeastern Oklahoma, for example.
And sometimes we find that it's not even so much the employment opportunities as it is, hey, I want a fresh start. And so we have a guy who 2 months ago walked to Tulsa in one day from Collinsville, walked, carrying all of the possessions he had just to get a fresh start. And he landed in Tulsa. He went to one of the shelters in the city and walked to CEO the very next day and said, hi, I'm here. I don't have a home. I don't have a job. I don't know the city, but man, do I ever want to get started. And I'm just blown away by this, thinking, you walked from Collinsville. I complain a little bit when I have to drive that far.
Well, you know, if you don't have a car, that's about the only way you're going to get from Collinsville to Tulsa. There's no bus. There's
Absolutely.
No other way to get there.
Right. Absolutely. So, so we see this intense drive for employment. And we also see this intense drive for a fresh start. And to say, you know what, my past is my past. And I've done so much to move myself forward. And now I'm ready to get on with the rest of my life. And there can be a number of reasons why people would come home to Tulsa. And many times it's just that fresh start.
Right. So if you're freshly released, you have one of two things. One, maybe a family and friends unit that are not necessarily going to be welcoming because mm-hmm. of the circumstances that got you sent into jail in the first place. or you do have that welcoming situation, but that situation could lead to further problems with law enforcement and for your parole or for the terms of your release. So what does a person do in that situation?
Oftentimes, a person in that situation will look to find community resources. And one of the fantastic things about Tulsa is that there are a lot of resources across the city. At times, I think that we can be a little bit difficult to find because the way that we advertise might be through a channel that doesn't necessarily reach someone who has just been released from prison, doesn't have a phone, doesn't have the internet, doesn't know, hey, I'm going to Google search for this weird term called reentry services that I've never heard of. You know, how would they find us in the first place? So we do actually have referrals from a number of partners across the city, probation and parole, both federal and state. Many of the diversion programs as well will send people through CEO to help with the employment component of their diversion program. And most recently, particularly with the commutations that you've mentioned at the opening of this interview, we are working with the transitions team inside of the prisons, inside of the Department of Correction, to make sure that those people who are feeling helpless, lost, alone, have a piece of paper from their case manager in the prison to say, hey, when you get out, here is a place that can help you. Don't feel alone. You have somewhere you can go. And then within CEO, we use our resources to work with all of the different agencies across the city to say, hey, okay, you're struggling with housing. Let me make a couple phone calls for you to a couple of our contacts and try to see if maybe they can help you with that. Hey, you're struggling with transportation. We've recently launched a partnership with the Hub program that can help you get a bike so you can get to and from, you know, if your living situation isn't on a bus line, or more importantly, if the work situation that you're looking at isn't on a bus line. We don't want to hear that you can't take that job just because you can't get there.
So from what I'm hearing is the state is providing very little on the service side for these releases. They're providing referrals to organizations like yours. So it's really depending on the private sector for the most part.
I wouldn't want to throw the state under the bus because I know that they are certainly doing quite a lot. But in many cases, yes, it does fall on the private sector to provide a lot of these services.
Tell us a little bit about the Center for Employment Opportunities. You do a lot of training, a lot of placement, transitional employment to get a person ready to begin to work on a regular basis. Tell us about the process.
Absolutely. So just to briefly walk you through the program, a participant comes to our office with a referral from one of the referral partners I'd mentioned. We are focusing on people who are at the highest risk of recidivism, of returning to incarceration. And so these are people who are within 1 year of release.
Mm-hmm. How do you determine that?
Oh, we have release papers mm-hmm. that are, so we actually work with partners within the Department of Corrections to verify that this is somebody within 1 year of release.
And this
release.
Is sort of like the red critical person that's like, you know, they're worried that they may end up back in prison at some point.
It's a dangerous, I wouldn't even say dangerous, really, but it's a scary time in a person's life to come home. So, and it's in that first couple of weeks, first couple of months are the most intimidating part of that process. So really what it's all about is, hey, let's catch people when they're most vulnerable, when they most need that support, when they haven't figured out how to get their feet underneath them, and let's catch them when they don't have a community so that we can bring them into a very positive community that will help grow and encourage them. So they come to the program, we have a 4-day orientation course, and that's, you know, half your standard HR orientation. How do you work at this company? Because I always describe my job as, you know, I half run a landscaping and home repair company, and I half run a nonprofit, and it's this weird mishmash of managing a company. But we are a real company. We pay real salaries. We actually pay daily, which is critical to many of our participants. The other half of that class is truly just about welcome home. How can we help you get the first little bit of information to get yourself towards financial sustainability? And then the very next week, they go out to work and they get that daily pay. So they're working on one of 5 work crews across Tulsa, and that is performing a range of services for our city, anything from debris removal to campus beautification at TCC, all the way to helping homeowners who need a little bit of extra assistance in getting their homes up to spec in terms of
inspections,
access for people mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. have mobility challenges, helping those homeowners make their home more comfortable, more livable for them. So quite a range of jobs that they're doing to benefit Tulsa. These are paid jobs. They get daily pay every day. They do that for 4 days a week, and on the fifth day, they work with a member of our office staff, kind of with my nonprofit hat on, and that's helping with a huge range of things from any sort of challenges they might have to long-term employment, housing, transportation, these kinds of things, any nervousness they have about taking a job, which is a real thing, and also just interviewing skills and resumes and hey, I know you've probably never seen Indeed before, but this is how employers like to employ people. So helping people with that huge range of, you know, things that you need to know to apply for a job.
Let's face it, if you've been incarcerated for 10 years, you're going to go to the classified section of the newspaper for a job, and that's not really the place to find a job anymore. I mean, there are places that still advertise in the newspaper, but, you know, online is perhaps the better choice.
Absolutely, yeah. And having that fundamental skill, even if you do have access to technology, just to know, hey, the patterns of use of that technology may not necessarily be the patterns of use of the professional world. So you and I, you know, have a topic come up at the dinner table, the first thing we do is Google it. That's a professional skill that we don't necessarily even know we have.
So is this employment at the landscape part of your of CEO? Is that more transitional employment?
That is. That's transitional employment for up to 6 months.
So you're getting people into the habit of going to work every day.
Getting people into the habit of going to work every day, providing them daily feedback on the work that they've done. Mm-hmm. So at the end of every week, I ask the site supervisors who are the people running these work crews, hey, who are your rock stars? How have you been able to help people on your crew this week? Who needs a little bit of extra support? And the things that we're looking at are the things that correlate with long-term success in the workplace, being able to get to work on time, being able to communicate with supervisors, with peers, putting forth effort at work, and having personal presentation, which on the cruise includes wearing your personal protective equipment, that will keep you in good standing with your employer.
Yeah. Earlier you were talking about you work at trying to the first steps of becoming financially sustainable. Mm-hmm. What are the fears that these people have when they're making these first steps? What are the most common sort of threads that go along with that?
The biggest one I hear is my landlord called and I couldn't pay my rent and I'm going to be out on the street tomorrow. That's a common one. The other challenges that we faced, and we've actually worked to introduce some program innovation to address this challenge, is the lack of access to formal financial systems. So very few of our participants enter CEO being banked. And there are long-term financial repercussions to not having a bank account operating in cash. One of the biggest ones we found for our participants is that funny look you get from HR when you finally get a job and they ask for your direct deposit form and you have absolutely no idea what that is. And it just sets you up on this, I feel like I don't fit in here. And we've also worked with our participants to address some of those little hidden things that can set them up on the pathway to success. Now, once you have a bank account, savings becomes just that much easier, and you're not going to be as likely to be in a situation where you can't come up with the money for a rent check or an electric bill that was higher than you thought it was.
Mm, yeah, and of course, you know, having the bank is the first step towards building any sort of credit, which oftentimes it goes along with housing too. So it is this sort of revolving system, isn't it?
It truly is. And again, I can't emphasize how much we work as a community in Tulsa to address the whole needs of a person. Employment is very much one of these needs. And of course, without a salary, without some form of income, it's very difficult to build that pathway to financial sustainability.
So once you have your employees in this transitional employment, that fifth day you're doing a lot of training, and I assume you're doing some assessment of their aptitudes and the places where they can make permanent employment and move into the system, you know, the way you would want to.
Absolutely. So we have something we call the Job Start Ready assessment. And what that really looks at is two dimensions of employability. The first is logistical ability to get to work and to hold a job. And the second is interviewing skills and the ability to just work well with others. Those daily feedback pieces that they get from their work on the cruise feed into that as well. And the real reason why we do that is because we don't want to set somebody up for a difficult interview that we know they're going to really struggle with and come back and feel like, oh man, I really can't do this. We want to make sure that when we're sending participants out on interviews, they're going into those with confidence, prepped, and really ready to go for those interviews so that they can come back and say, hey, I did a great job. And, you know, if I can wait just 2 weeks sometimes in that program, I can get somebody from the point where they're going to really struggle in an interview to the point where they're really ready and they're going to land that job and they're going to carry it for, you know, a year forward.
My guest today is Adrienne Yendell. She's the Tulsa director for the Center for Employment Opportunities, which is helping a lot of newly released Oklahomans find work and make a transition from incarceration to a productive citizenry. And she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Getting that permanent job, that's the big step. You know, I just think of how many employers now where a criminal background check is a routine part of this. And I know there's efforts to sort of change that attitude among employers, but how open are Tulsa employers to hiring this population?
Well, Rich, they're actually more open than you would think. Mm-hmm. And it's very encouraging to see that in many cases, employers, once they actually get to know someone and interview them, are very willing to hire someone with some form of justice involvement in their background. Another thing that I think Oklahomans are really beginning to learn is that there are a range of statistics, and the one that I've seen most recently is that 1 in 3 working age adults have some form of justice involvement in their background. So as employers, we cannot close the door on people with some form of justice involvement because that's a third of our workforce that we're turning away as we're trying to get our economic engine really, really churning here in Tulsa. We need the workforce to do that. And I think employers are really beginning to realize that not only is there a tremendous amount of talent in the justice involved labor force, these people are very, very hardworking, motivated, in many cases, have the supports through entities like CEO to help them carry that job forward for an entire year. We do follow our participants for an entire year once they make that job placement to not just get a job, but keep that job throughout, you know, long term.
One of the things you told us you wanted to share was people, the individual stories like that gentleman who walked from Collinsville to Tulsa to come to CEO, just says, I need a fresh start. Mm-hmm. I need to get away from my environment, wherever that was, to get a fresh start. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe share some success stories?
Yeah, so what happened to him? He was on our program on the transitional jobs for 2 months. Every single week, his name comes up as one of the, we call them rock stars, one of the people mm-hmm. who's just really doing fantastic work on the cruise. He was one of the people who had an incredible amount of self-awareness and said, hey, I don't want to rush into a job. I want to get a job that I'm going to hold long-term, that I really like. CEO, will you work with me? I also want to make sure that I can address some of the challenges that I know I'm going to have to getting to work. I don't want to be that employee who can't call out because I lost my home and I don't have a phone the next day. So we did. We worked with him for 2 months. He was ready to go out and take a job sooner than that, you know, by our assessment. But he knew, and he took us up on many opportunities throughout the program. So transportation was a challenge for him. He was one of the first people to sign up for our partnership with Hub Bike. He was also one of the first people to sign up for our partnership with Tulsa Tech. He was able to get forklift training, and ultimately we helped him find a job with a forklift. And sure enough, it was a job he wouldn't have been able to take without that bike because there was no other way to get to that particular employer. And he loves it now.
And I would think within a few months, he's going to have a driver's license. He'll, you know, he can pass the bike on to someone else.
Yeah.
And you know, he'll have a home. He'll have reliable transportation. He has a job. He's well on his way.
He is. And he certainly used the daily pay he got at CEO in order to get himself. One of the first things that he did was get himself into a housing situation. And so even from the very first steps in his transitional work at CEO, he was meeting some of those needs. He was achieving some of those financial milestones, getting a house, having a stable budget, things like that. So he was really learning a lot of those skills, as well as just building the confidence that he needed and the work experience that he needed as well to really be able to go out and hold that job long term.
Of course, one of the things you do is you follow up with retention services. How do you go about doing that? And how many people are you actually serving?
So we have placed over 1,000 people in jobs. So we are serving a lot of people. So there are quite a number of phone calls that the two people in our office who do retention services, is what we call them, are reaching out to. Now that's by making direct outreach, so email, phone call, just trying to say, hey, we're still here. Do you need any support? How's it going? And in many cases, that's by participants coming to us. So an example of that is one of the first participants I met when I joined CEO. And this, if I could quote him, how can I help you, was just always the first thing I heard him say. So when I was new to the role, I had the opportunity to go out and actually lead some of our work crews myself. And he would be that participant who would find the new people in the program and say, hey, how can I help? Do you need to figure out how to get food? Do you need to figure out how to get housing? He would see me, you know, hopping in and doing some of the work, and he'd say, no, let me help you with that. Such a great guy. Well, he, you know, he loves CEO. He's worked with us for quite some time. We never have to call him. He is excited to come in and share his news. So he's now got a very stable job. He's got a 401k that he's really excited to tell us about every time he comes in. And so it's great to also see those participants who just come back because CEO in many ways really is still part of their community, and they're still very, very much happy to see our staff.
Well, that's great to hear. But for a number of the recently released, substance abuse has been a part of their history. And I know in some releases that are going on to this day, it's mandated that you go into substance abuse programs upon release. What about those folks and how they're making their transition? They may not necessarily be working with CEO, but can you talk about that story?
Actually, many of them are working with CEO. So quite a range of our participants come from diversion programs, through drug court, through women's justice team. So many of them who actually are working with a large number of people who have substance abuse challenges in their life. And one of the core ways that CEO works with people is that we really make sure that the participants aren't being told how to live their lives, but are being given the resources to move forward towards the goals that they're setting for themselves. And so in many cases, our participants are setting sobriety goals for themselves, and CEO is working with them to identify sober living homes if that's the right pathway forward for them, help them really understand their deeper motivations for staying away from substances that they know are going to impact their life.
My guest today is Adrienne Yandell. She's the Tulsa director for the Center for Employment Opportunities, which is helping Oklahoma's recently released prison population find new opportunities, employment, and gainful employment in our city. And I know there are chapters. There's one in Oklahoma City. Of course, this is a big need, especially outside of Tulsa. I assume this your location is basically related to Tulsa, right?
We are, largely because we need to make sure that people can get physically to CEO Tulsa. Certainly, the conversations are being had at higher levels regarding, there are lots of people across the state, and we want to make sure that we can serve people across the state very well. So I would say stay tuned for that. I know that those are conversations that are happening well above my pay grade.
Yeah. Let's talk about employers in Tulsa. I assume that there's always a need for new employers to be open to hiring this population. Is that a recruitment situation that CEO helps make?
Absolutely.
That makes that case for them?
Yeah, so we actually have a staff role called the business account manager, and their job is 50-50 between helping participants identify what they want in employment and reaching out to employers to learn more about their companies, the jobs they have open. So yes, we actually do quite a bit of that work.
Have you found employers that were initially not receptive, but once you said, look, we can provide these employees with these skills, they reassessed?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I assume it's a real process for some employers to go, okay, I'll consider this population.
It depends on the person, just like anything else. But yeah, sometimes it can be a couple of conversations. And many times it's, you know, I hadn't really thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I want to, in our last couple of minutes, I want to talk a little bit about you. I know you've come back to Tulsa,
yes.
Right? You were working for the State Department.
I was.
And what happened that brought you back to Tulsa to work on employment opportunities for people who need employment opportunities?
So a bit of a long journey. As the opportunity presented to travel around the world, I had the opportunity to meet quite a lot of people. And in my travels, I met people who well earned the label of terrorist, of criminal. And when I got the opportunity to actually learn more about these people and kind of understand who they were, what their background was, I would say that my perspective and my vision of who gets this label put on them of criminal, of terrorist, really, really transformed. I was meeting people who would do anything to sacrifice for their family, for their children, and, you know, obviously activities that we wouldn't want. But I got to see the humanity behind people who were being recruited into terrorism right at the same time the Syrian crisis was breaking out. And I saw a huge number of people who were flooding out of Syria into neighboring countries, one of them being Jordan. And knowing the stories and the journeys that these people had been through, I said, oh my goodness, these people are not being allowed to work on the local economy. And these are people who are talented. These are people who have gone through so many challenges and overcome them just to get to where they are. How can we possibly let this talent not have the opportunity to come to light? And so I left my job in the Foreign Service. I had the privilege of getting a scholarship to go to study at Oxford, where I was mentored by Pamela Hartigan, who's one of, you know, sort of the luminaries of social enterprise, social entrepreneurship, and really got on the pathway to start a number of companies that helped refugees coming into Jordan get back on their feet through employment. And through that, I just really saw this transformative power of employment to take someone from a situation where they just felt beat down to this new hope and this new life that would just carry them forward.
Somewhere the light came on that this is not just a international situation. This is a situation that's happening in our country as well.
Yeah, and I think that's always a hard thing to come to terms with. Many people who work in foreign affairs or development, it's really easy to make it a problem that's not your own. But when you really take a look back and you say, this is a human problem, it really compelled me to move back. Tulsa's my home. My family's here. I really missed being in Tulsa. And, you know, had managed to transition ownership and leadership of the companies that I'd founded to Jordanian and Syrian talent, and had this great opportunity to make my own fresh start and move back here to Tulsa.
All right. Well, I assume you're always looking for employers that want to employ this population or want to take a chance on employing this population.
Absolutely.
How do people get more information about CEO?
So we have a website, ceoworks.org. It's really the best way to get in touch with us. My email is on there on the Tulsa page. But please take a look at our program, read a little bit more about who we are, reach out to us. It's one of the best ways to get in touch. And feel free to give us a call, shoot me an email. We're more than happy to chat.
Well, Adrienne, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for all the great work you're doing in our community.
Cool. Thank you so much, too.
Adrienne Yandell is the Tulsa director for the Center for Employment Opportunities. If you'd like more information about that organization, visit their website at ceoworks.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.